Well, it's a joy to be with you. I am privileged to be able to share about hope on the college campuses, representing the universities that are a part of our association. We have a great association. We have a great state convention. I love pastors. I don't think I would trade jobs with you, to be honest with you. I think I have the best job in the association, best job in the state. Craig and I can give a high five to each other about that later. I was looking at some numbers. There are over 40,000 college students enrolled in the universities that are represented in our association. So between the University of Kansas and Washburn, Emporia State, Haskell, over 40,000 students. And so it's a great privilege to do the job that we do. Now, when it comes to hope, when it comes to talking about hope on our college campuses, I want to share with you this morning that I have some good news. But after that good news, I want to share some bad news with you. I'm going to sandwich that bad news with a little bit of good news at the end. So here's where the good news would start. 2 weeks ago, I wrapped up a series of lessons with our students at Emporia State, and I had been teaching for several weeks on faith and doubt, asking those students to give some input and sharing with them how they could have a faith that lasts, that they wouldn't leave behind after they leave college, that they'd have a faith that lasts forever, and dealing with some of those questions of doubt. And so as a part of our worship service 2 weeks ago, I asked our students to write down on note cards the issue that they struggle with the most when it comes to doubting God. So we had collected those note cards, and so I read through them later that night after all the students had gone home. Here's the good news. For the students who laid their doubts on the altar, not a single one expressed doubt about God related to COVID-19. They are not doubting God because of this pandemic. They are not doubting God because of a weird semester where they're stuck in their rooms and doing classes online. Not a single doubt related to just the state of the fall semester. Not a single doubt amongst those college students about the state of politics and our national situation. Probably wouldn't be true if we had collected those in our local churches, but college students didn't express a single doubt about God's faithfulness when it came to the state of our nation. And I think that's good news, that those concerns are not on their radar. Here's the bad news. Listen to some of the doubts that these students expressed on those note cards. One student wrote, "How does God truly love me individually as a person?" Another student said, "Sometimes it seems crazy that I worship someone who I've never met, but I've only read about in the Bible." Listen to this young woman's prayer of doubt. "Why did you let it happen? What good came out of it? Why can't I believe in you? What's in my way? Why can't I trust you? I forgave him. Why can't I forgive you, God?" There's another student who said, "Why hasn't my family been healed?" Another one said, "Is this breakup going to be good or bad for me? Will all of the pain be worth it? Can I call upon you, Jesus, to help me? Will I ever find someone who will love me?" Another student wrote, "Does God make himself known in the lives of non-Christians? Why do the lies of the world have to be so loud?" And then another one, "My brother and his wife just had their fourth failed pregnancy. Does God love them? Does he see them? They don't know Christ, so why won't God save them?" Here's the second piece of good news sandwiched together with some of this bad news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than even some of these profound doubts. The gospel might be the only hope, the only message powerful enough to bring hope to students who wonder, how can I believe in this God that I can't see? How can I believe in a God who lets bad things happen? And I want to share with you a text that I shared with them that I think brings me some hope. It's from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 27 says this. "Someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams, and he grinds his teeth, he becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground, and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. So often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if I can, all things are possible for him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Immediately the father of the child cried out, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and he said to the mute and the deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. When I think about hope for college students, when I think about their profound doubts, when I think about their challenges, when I think about the challenge of the pastors in our association, I think that we have, just like the demon in this text, there are powers at work in the lives of our people that are not small, they're not insignificant. Sin and brokenness and doubt in the lives of the people that we care about are forces that are too much for us to go it alone. When I sit down with a college student, when you sit down with someone in your church, I have the sense that it's a problem, whatever that battle might be, it's too significant for my human wisdom, for your human wisdom, or for our human solutions. But I believe there's a model prayer for us in verse 24. In verse 24, where that father says, I believe, help my unbelief. I think that's a model prayer for us in the work that I do with college students and that you might do with folks in your place of ministry. Jesus, we believe that you're all we need. We believe that you're the only hope for the thousands of college students in our association. Help us when our belief is mixed with unbelief. Help us when we aren't sure. Help us to share the message of hope with others, even when we as ministers doubt. We believe, guide us through those places of unbelief. I think that prayer of that father is my model prayer for students. I would encourage us to take hope, to find hope in this unusual year, in the fact that there is a gospel witness in the churches of this association. To take hope that there is a gospel witness on the campus at Washburn and at the University of Kansas and at Haskell and at Emporia State University. I would encourage us to pray to that end, that as we do this work amongst these people that matter so much, that we would believe, and when we doubt, when we struggle, that we would come to know that and remember that the message of the gospel is more powerful than doubt. It's more powerful than sin. It's more powerful than the struggles of the people that we care so much about. That's my prayer for these 40,000 students and for the churches in our association. Can I pray for us? Heavenly Father God, I do pray that you would be our only hope, that you wouldn't let us forget that human answers and wisdom and it's inadequate. Father, I pray that we would rely on you and on you alone. Father, I pray that as ministers, when we minister to people far and wide in this association, that you would temper our doubts with a hope in you, a hope in the gospel that doesn't fade. Father, I pray that even in this unusual semester, that there would be many students who come to faith in you, even in the midst of difficulty. That some part of this difficult situation would be something that you would use for your glory and your majesty on our campuses in the Flint Hills Association. Amen.